whole heart. And he said, if you will do that, I will be found of you. That's a promise. But we have to seek him with a whole heart, not half-heartedly. And so I'm pleading with you, even in the context of what we're just seeing here developing, it's not just about information, you see. It's not just about titillating our minds with information about prophecy and about these amazing discoveries that are taking place and the world coming unglued. No. Those things are presented in order to draw our minds and our hearts back to the ruler of the universe who has given these prophecies in order that we might adjust our ways and prepare his ways in our lives. It's got to start with you. It's got to start with me. It's got to start in our homes. It's not going to start with the liberals, the abortionists, the homosexuals. No, it's going to start with you and with me. It's going to start in the pulpits of America. It's going to start with pastors and people. It's going to start from pulpit to pew, from pew back to pulpit. It has to involve all of us. Don't wait. Don't delay. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Don't do it. Now, oil pressure is rising, as is the spiritual pressure on the world to repent. A month ago, Brent crude oil stood at around $96 a barrel, and Hosni Mubarak was ensconced as Egypt's ruler. Now he's gone, overthrown by a display of people power that is shaking autocratic leaders across North Africa and the Middle East. And oil has surged above $115 a gallon. Little wonder the region provides 35% of the world's oil. Libya, the scene of growing violence, produces 1.7 million of the world's 88 million barrels a day. Oil hit a peak even before news emerged that some foreign oil firms operating in Libya would cut production. Oil prices are driven both by current conditions and by future expectations. I'm sharing from the feature article, Oil Pressure Rising, in the latest issue of The Economist, entitled Blood and Oil. Oil markets don't like surprises. The sudden ousting of Mr. Mubarak and the unrest in Libya, Bahrain, Yemen, Iran, and Algeria, which between them supply a tenth of the world's oil, had added 20% to oil prices by the middle of this last week. The big worry is that spreading unrest will culminate in another shock akin to the oil embargo of 1973, the Iranian Revolution, or Iraq's invasion of Kuwait. Oil is more global now than it was during those previous crises. Russia overtook Saudi Arabia as the world's biggest crude supplier in 2009. OPEC's share of production has gone from around 51% in the mid-1970s to just over 40% now. Yet the globalization of oil supply has not diminished OPEC's clout. Demand rose by a blistering 2.7 million barrels a year last year alone and is set to grow by another 1.7 million barrels this year. Many other producers are already running at full capacity, and OPEC has its hands on the only spare oil, that is, if they have any. They represent that they do, but many oil experts believe that they have overestimated, overrepresented by 40% their so-called oil reserves. So you can see, if they have indeed overrepresented, it intensifies the oil pressure. And the story goes on. And a troubled region's capacity to cause trouble is not going to diminish. The world could probably weather a short-lived crisis, but the damage if oil prices spiked and stayed high for a long time could be so severe for the recovering economies of the rich world that it would cause their economies to collapse. Could that also be one of the key factors that might usher in the cry for a new world order? you see it all coming together. It's not a game. It's not just information in the abstract. Here on Viewpoint, we're moving from information to transformation. Today, if you will hear God's voice, harden not your heart, but repent. Confess your sin. Turn from it. Embrace Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your Lord, my friend. Jesus said, "Don't call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say." Thanks for joining us. I want to urge you again to get a copy of Breaking the Treasure Code, The Hunt for Israel's Oil. You get to $15 or more to Save America Ministries or put it in your hands. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. Get on our website, saveus.org, and we'll provide free the packet of materials with that when you order the book. Thanks for joining us. Become a partner. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. God bless you. Be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our...
discrimination laws that protect freedom of religion to talk about at JPL. So, I mean, either way, JPL has no way to argue that ID can't be talked about, and given that they already allow it to be talked about, you know, they can't really make the argument with a straight face that ID is not open for discussion at JPL.
Oh, I've known enough attorneys. I'm sorry. They can make the argument with a straight face. They can even lie with a straight face. Excuse me. But I know what you're trying to say here, okay? I have seen people make straight-faced arguments to things that no credible person would ever do.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our good friend, Lindsay Williams. Hi, Lindsay. How are you doing?
It is so wonderful to be with you tonight. You know, back when nobody else would pay any attention to me, wouldn't believe what I was being told by the elite many years ago, you were willing for me to come on your show and say certain things that were almost unbelievable. And now we're seeing those very things come to pass out there with gasoline prices, things taking place in the Middle East. Mr. Fromm telling me back 35 years ago that they would not open up the North Slope of Alaska until they had the price of crude oil $150 to $200 a barrel. And 35 years ago, it was only $32 a barrel. And people thought I was crazy when I was saying that these things would take place. But, Dr. Stan, you were so kind as to let me come on your show and say some of those things back in those days. I want to thank you.
Well, you know, it's been sort of fun to be a witness to history. Most of us don't get a chance to get advanced knowledge of what's going on, but you certainly when we talked there, I think it was about mid-October of last year, maybe a little later than that, but you came on the program the 1st of November, and you told me that the price of oil was going back up to $150 to $200 a barrel, and it would be in 4 to 6 months. Then you said there was going to be a major conflict in the Middle East, and of course I said, well, war with Iran, and you said, no, he wouldn't say that. He wouldn't say what the conflict would be, but it was just going to be a major conflict. And then he said, he told you that by the end of 2012, the dollar would be dead. Now, it didn't say how it was going to be dead, didn't say it was going to be hyperinflation. He said that we wouldn't be able to buy things because we'd be so poor. But all of these things are coming down the line, ladies and gentlemen. That's the reason I wanted Lindsay to be with you to sound the warning again, because you've got to prepare yourself for what lies ahead. we are going to see, I believe, significant increase in the price of goods and the gradual replacement of the dollar as the reserve currency of the world. Do you see that coming, Lindsay?
Yes, positively, Dr. Stan. In fact, the way that it was put to me one time was, he said, there'll be plenty of groceries on the grocery store shelf. He said, Chaplain, you won't have to worry about a thing as far as being able to buy. He said, the groceries will be there. Oh, I'm sorry. He said, the groceries will be there. You won't have to worry about that. He said, in our new world order, if something happens, we have a freeze in Florida, we just bring it in from somewhere else in the world. If California has a problem, we just go someplace else. And but he said, the grocery store shelves will be full, but you will go hungry. And I couldn't understand that at the time. And so I asked him some questions. I said, what do you mean? There will be no shortage of groceries on the grocery store shelf. I know this is quite different than what you're hearing on many talk stations, but I just have to give it as it was given to me. And he said, there'll be plenty of food on the grocery store shelf. There'll be no shortage, but the currency will be worth so little that you won't be able to feed your family. And then he said, the dollar will be dead by the end of 2012. All of us had trouble comprehending these things back in those days. But I think the most recent one, Dr. Stan, which you allowed me to say on your program. In fact, you talked to me one day and you said, would you call your friend and ask him if there's going to be a conflict with Iran? And I did. And he said, no, Chaplain. And I said, well, what is that going to be? Okay. He said, there is going to be a conflict in the Middle East within 4 to 5 months. And I came on your show and I said, I asked him if there was going to be a conflict with Iran, and he would not use the word Iran. But he said there is going to be a conflict in 4 to 5 months, and in 4 months' time after that was said on your show, it broke out in Egypt, and now it's going on to Libya, and it's going from there to one country after the other across the Middle East. Now, the only difference in listening to this on the daily news and knowing what is to transpire from this point on is what I was told about a week and a half ago, which has literally staggered the listening audiences everywhere, and I have been startled even myself to see all of this unfolding so much as to what is going to happen from this point on.
All right, fine. Well, now, because this is something Mr. L would have told you, I assume?
Yes, about a week and a half ago, I had a communique, and written right across the top of it was, you better sit down. Well, I know when he says that, I had better sit down because there's something startling. And basically, what he made known was, I knew that it was going to be 4 to 5 months and we'd have a conflict. I did not know how far the conflict was going. It is going to spread from one Middle East oil-producing country to the other. The kings, the heads of those companies, countries will not be able to stop it, and it is all done for a reason, Dr. Stan. Everything we're seeing was planned behind closed doors, and, you know, there have been times that I wish I could say I was wrong. But when these elite tell me something, it's been right every time for the past 35 years, Dr. Stan.
Well, we're living in difficult times, but we can just see this whole so-called spontaneous revolution that's taking place over there in the Near East and the Middle East. It's not spontaneous at all. It has nothing to do with a desire for democracy. Not that the people over there wouldn't like to be free. People throughout the world would like to be free. People throughout the world would like to have better living standards. People throughout the world would love to have what we have here in America. The difficulty is that I fear that we are going to lose what we have in America, and I think it's coming. It's coming very rapidly. It's coming because, of course, of the greed of the American people. Everybody wants more and more and more, and we've run out of more. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Chris, apparently, why Lindsay has been told, and I certainly firmly believe this is correct. All of the countries over there in the Middle East and the Near East are going to fall. Now, whether that's all of them or majority of them, we don't know. But certainly it's all of the countries there are having demonstrations. There are demonstrations in Oman, in Yemen, in the Sudan, in Somalia. There are demonstrations certainly in Morocco, in Algeria. Tunisia and Cairo have already fallen. Libya's in the process of falling. Certainly there's demonstrations in Jordan and Syria. Lebanon has already gone over to the radical Islamic side. Certainly Turkey has gone over to the radical Islamic side, and they're working very hard now to convert all of the other so-called stand countries, Uzbekistan, Turkestan, Turkmenistan, Kurdistan, I can't remember all of them, but all of those countries over there. The people in Turkey took over control of that country at the behest of the CIA, which has been pushing this and financing this radical Muslim Brotherhood, this radical form of Islam, for many, many years, because dating back to 1928, the original Muslim Brotherhood was funded by MI6 British intelligence, and then the CIA took over funding it after the Second World War. We brought the radical mullahs to power in 1979. We financed Al-Qaeda. We financed the Taliban. We financed the terrorists. And if you doubt that, you need to get that article by Lord James, who on the 4th of November stood up in the House of Lords and said he was funneling money to the terrorists in North Africa from the Bank of London. Now, not a word in the controlled press in the United States. Fortunately, the article appeared in the Belfast Telegraph, and it is available up on Yahoo. You need to get it. If you can't get it, it's available from Radio Liberty. But they even had the film club of his talking about funneling money from the Bank of England. This is Lord James, a member of the House of Lords, funneling money from the Bank of England to the terrorists in North Africa. What was the money going for? Well, did you ever wonder who is funding the rebels that are advancing on Tripoli in Libya? Did you ever wonder who put up the money to buy off the military in both Egypt and in Tunisia so they did not resist the revolutionary movement? What's this all about? It's, in my estimation, and I want Lindsay's opinion on this, but it's all about moving those countries into the radical Islamic camp, because the only organized organization over there is the Muslim Brotherhood, well-financed, well-trained. When they have elections, they'll have one man, one vote, one time. The Muslim, radical Muslims will take control, and now we will have the finest enemy money could buy in preparation for the coming great war that's going to occur there. Lindsay, let's get your thoughts and pick up the story from your point of view.
What I have been told is going to happen is the following, and I still sit here stunned. We are going to see the Muslim Brotherhood move from country to country to country with their same sort of a thing they did in Egypt, what we're seeing in Libya now. And this will move from country to country. But the part that is so startling to me is there is a reason for this. It has not happened by chance. Now, let me try to explain what the reason behind it is, and it will be as plain as a jigsaw puzzle put together. Many, many years ago, when Mr. Henry Kissinger was the Secretary of State in the United States, he traveled abroad. And he went to the then-known oil-producing countries of the Middle East in particular. But it even goes back further than that, because the Arabs had found oil. I guess the major American oil companies had found oil on the Arab soil. And, of course, the Arabs didn't have the money to produce those oil fields. The American companies did. And then the Arabs paid them back for the oil fields that they had produced. Keeping in mind that Mr. Fromm, whom you've heard us speak of many times, who passed away just recently, was actually given the job by Atlantic Richfield to go into the United Arab Emirates and Dubai and that part of the world and produce their oil fields. He sat down by the hour and talked to me about what had happened back in those days. So I knew the intricate details of it all. So the American oil companies basically divided up the world. and said, we will produce those oil fields. Well, they did. Texaco, Shell, Standard Oil, Chevron, they went into the where they knew the oil was and produced those fields. Then the Arabs paid them back for what the American oil companies had done. About that time, when the Arabs were on their own, Middle East Arab produced oil-producing countries, Mr. Kissinger came in and traveled there in person and said, I'd like to cut you a deal. Now, this was a trap from the beginning, but they didn't know it. They weren't familiar with international finance. All they knew were that they were rich overnight. And he said, I'd like to cut you a deal. We will buy oil from you. We will not produce from our American oil fields. This is so significant, folks, because this is what's been keeping our oil in America from being produced all of these years, was the agreement that was cut back then. There was a reason for it. He said, if you will take a certain percentage of the money, and they never told me the percentage, they just said it happened, a certain percentage of the money that we buy oil from you with, and turn around and buy our Federal Reserve issues of securities. That's T-bills and other securities. Now, keep in mind what those securities do. When another country buys America's T-bills and Federal Reserve issues, they basically are financing the interest on the national debt. This means that they knew way back in those days that America was going to have the phenomenal debt of $14 trillion that we have today. And, of course, naturally, it was as sound as the dollar. These were the best paper securities on the face of the earth, and they bought them. Then China came along, and they moved our industry abroad. Even though China was not related to oil, they moved our industry over there, and China bought our Federal Reserve issues. And they hold approximately $1 trillion worth of it today. Now, here's what's happening in the Middle East. This crisis is going to travel. May I say that, Dr. Stan, I agree with you 100%. I have definitely been told that what is happening in the Middle East is being financed by the elite. Now, when Mr. Kissinger made that agreement back in those days, he knew that these countries would only hold the paper. So now we come down to 2011. The crisis, I was told 4 to 5 months in advance, would travel from country to country. There would be mass problems, just as there is in Libya right now, there was in Egypt. And they're creating this intentionally in order to bring about one country after the other. And finally, it will wind up in Saudi Arabia. Now, Saudi Arabia supplies more oil to America than any other one country. And when it hits Saudi Arabia, watch out. Why? They basically will have accomplished most of what they want. One country after the other in the Middle East, and finally it'll get to the point. Now put this down on your calendar, mark it down, and watch what happens. Finally, they will get to the point that they will not be able to supply the United States of America the crude oil that it wants. But by this time, the price of crude oil, and I predicted this many months ago, as they said to me, was going to go from $150 to $200 a barrel. And you know, I think back on 1976, when I was on the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline and watched them bring in the Gull Island oil find, and I remember that day, I said to Mr. Fromm, I didn't have the slightest idea what he was telling me, but he knew what he was saying. I said, Ken, why don't you bring in this oil? Why don't you let the American people have it so that they can produce and have the great American dream? I'll never forget his words. I recorded it in my book, Energy Non-Crisis. I've said it on Dr. Stan's program and others a long time ago. He said, Chaplain, we are not going to produce those oil fields until we get the price of oil where we want it. Then I found out where they wanted it to go, $150 to $200 a barrel. Remember, in 1976, it was $32 a barrel. None of us have even dreamed it could go to $200 a barrel. Now, with the crisis in the Middle East, it will cause the price of crude oil to go to $200 a barrel. Not only that, but at the same time, it is going to crash the dollar, because I was told that the dollar will be dead by the end of 2012. Not non-existent, but dead. When the dollar dies, what's going to happen to all those securities that Mr. Kissinger persuaded them to buy back many years ago, and the Middle East oil-producing countries hold it, China holds it, Japan holds it, many countries of the world hold these sound paper securities. What's going to happen to them when the dollar crashes? those securities will become worthless overnight. Now, there's a reason why this is happening. They have been double-crossed. They are beginning to realize they have been intentionally double-crossed. And when the agreement was made, the elite of the world had planned 40 to 50 years down the line what was going to take place. As you know, everything works in 50-year cycles. Now we have crude oil. At this point, when these Middle East problems develop worse and worse and worse, Saudi Arabia has the big problem. Watch out for March the 11th. A day of rage has been declared by the Muslim Brotherhood for Saudi Arabia on March 11th. I'm not saying they will succeed. I have not been told that they will succeed, but I know it's been declared. And as a result, Saudi Arabia is moving troops and arms into Bahrain and doing everything in their power to keep there from being a problem over there. When all of this transpires and the dollar collapses, as it will, and Dr. Stan,
you go right, you go right ahead. You go right ahead. I'll tell you when we get cut off. You go right ahead.
So whenever the dollar has arrived at the point that it basically has collapsed, it'll be there, but it'll be worth so little in purchasing power. At the same time, most of the oil in the Middle East is cut off. America will be desperate. It'll be to the point that people will be begging for a new currency. They'll be begging for oil. They'll be pleading for somebody to come to their rescue. Can you see?
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Lindsay, go right ahead.
Can you see how the elite create a problem and then create a solution? They've done it over all of the years, and you are witnessing.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verki water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verki water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value, plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
Has been buying, with at least part of the money that they've gotten, a significant part, investing in American T-bills, and they're large holders of T-bills, as is China. Certainly China holds about slightly over a trillion dollars of American either T-bills or agency bills. That would be like Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, things of that sort. But, of course, everybody is beginning to realize that you cannot trust American investments. An article in the Wall Street Journal I was reading just this evening, that with this current crisis, ordinarily when there's uncertainty in the world, everybody, of course, begins putting their money into dollars because they know the dollar is sound up until this crisis. And at this point, why suddenly the country, people who are looking for a safe haven for their money, they're putting it the Japanese yen. They're investing it in Switzerland. They're investing it in other currencies, but they're not investing in the American dollar. Why? Because they've realized, of course, that basically they've almost tripled the amounts of our reserves over here. They've created all this money out of nothing. We will have, certainly, by the time Barack Obama leaves office, they will have doubled the debt here in the United States. In other words, in the 4 years Barack Obama is going to be in office, he will have created twice as much federal debt as all the previous 43 presidents before him. This is not happening by accident. Remember, Barack Obama is simply a figurehead for the people who put him in office. Who put Barack Obama in office? Why, the bankers did. I mean, Barack Obama is certainly going to have a new chief of staff. Who is his chief of staff replacing Ron Emanuel? It's a man named William Daley, son of Mayor Daley. Where did William Daley come from? J.P. Morgan Chase Bank. Then, of course, he has a new head of his Council of Economic Advisors replacing Larry Summers. Where did he come from? Goldman Sachs Bank. So the bankers, of course, have been investing. They create money out of nothing, and then they buy assets that are worth something, gold, silver, commodities, property. And what they're doing is creating fraudulent money, and then they're investing it in something worthwhile. Why do you think that gold and silver have been running as they have? Silver has gone, certainly, up. I've never seen anything like it. It's been going up, 50 cents, 75 cents, a dollar a day for the last several weeks. I mean, fortunes have been made. But the average American has no idea what's going on. He's much more concerned about Tiger Woods and Lindsay Lohan and the fellow who Charlie Sheehan, old poor Charlie Sheehan, And so we focus on all sorts of unimportant things because we are governed, our minds are molded, our ideas formed, our tastes suggested largely by men we've never heard of. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you listen to Radio Liberty and listen to Lindsay Williams, hopefully you've made your preparation. We're in for a terribly difficult ride, but they're going to destroy the value of our currency and impoverish our people. It's well on its road. I've never seen anything happening with the rapidity we're seeing it today. Lindsay, you pick up the story.
The elite have a timeline. And Dr. Stan, again, I sit back amazed, because we're watching it unfold in front of our eyes. So I want to give you a time frame. Most every show, someone will ask me, when is this going to happen? Well, I will give it to you as it was given to me. The dollar will be dead by the end of 2012. Again, I'd like to ask you, please, don't add to what the elite said. We must take it as they said it. He did not say the dollar would be non-existent. That means that it will be worth so little, that it will purchase so little, that you'll wonder if you even have anything. Taking a wheelbarrow load of dollar bills to the grocery store to buy a loaf of bread, I know it's a scenario, but the dollar is decreasing in its purchasing power.
And that's the all dollar, the Social Security problem, you see, because they can give you $1,000, $1,500 worth of Social Security every month, but it just won't be worth much of anything. That solves the problem for them. So Medicare, they'll have to figure out something else to do with, but they can do that with the pensions. They've been promised to the teachers, government employees. Inflation's a wonderful way, of course, getting out of the Ponzi scheme that exists at the present time. In fact, I'm sure that Bernie Madoff is very, very envious of the way that the politicians can run a Ponzi scheme, and they come out looking great. And, of course, when his Ponzi scheme collapses, he goes off to prison for 150 to 200 years. Our guest is Lindsay Williams. If you have a question or comment, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Dr. Stan, of course, what Lindsay was told was that the dollar would be dead by the end of 2012. It didn't say it would be non-existent. It didn't say we'd have hyperinflation. What it did say is it would lose its value dramatically. And do you think one of the inferences, Lindsay, or did they mention the fact that the dollar might well lose its reserve status for the currencies of the world?
Yes. Positively. That's one of the things that Mr. Fromm said before he passed away. He said, Lindsay, any time that crude oil ceases to be traded using the dollar, he said the dollar is gone. Remember the expression he gave to me. He said the standard currency of the world is crude oil. Now, Dr. Stan, there were so many things that this brilliant man said before he passed away that I didn't have the slightest idea what he was saying. I couldn't understand the depth of it. When he said the standard currency of the world is crude oil, not the dollar, nor the yen, nor the pound, nor the won, nor the ruble. And then he said one day also, he said, whenever it gets to the place that the Federal Reserve buys its own treasury notes, he said, Chaplain, it's all over. As of last week, the Federal Reserve surpassed China as the world's largest holder of United States debt. Folks, did you hear this? This is outright, it, almost like prophecy, listening to what that man told me. As of last week, the Federal Reserve surpassed China as the largest holder of United States debt. They're buying their own debt. Now, here's what you're going to see take place. The dollar is going to continue to lose its purchasing power. This morning, the dollar was 76.73. Now, it has been predicted by many people on Wall Street that the moment the dollar hits 75, that it will plunge. That's exactly what will happen in order to bring about the death of the dollar by the end of 2012. What's going to happen to crude oil prices? They will continue to go up until they come to $200 a barrel. That means $6 to $7 a gallon at the gas pump.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Lindsay brought out a very important fact I wasn't familiar with, but just in the last couple of weeks, why it was announced that the Federal Reserve is holding more of our debt than the Chinese are. And Mr. Fromm had told him that when the Federal Reserve began buying our debt, when the Federal Reserve began buying up our debt, and, of course, it's all done with fraudulent money, why, of course, that would be the end of the system. Basically, what they're doing is creating money out of nothing and buying debt with it. How can that really be? Well, of course, it can't be, but they're doing it anyway. Why? Because Mr. Ben Bernanke is put in place by the major banks which want to destroy our currency. Why would they want to do that? Because, of course, what they've done is they've transferred fabulous amounts of money into fixed assets that have some value, and they're going to end up with the homes and the property and the mines and the valid stock and valid companies. And what are you going to end up with? Why, you're going to end up with dollars in pension funds and dollars in annuities and dollars in bonds and dollars in the bank and dollars in CD, and the dollar will be worth, well, the paper is written on. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Lindsay, before we go on, I want to give you an opportunity to get out your telephone number and people can get in touch with you. Get the material that you offer them. Go right ahead.
Dr. Stan, I've become so alarmed over what I was told a week and a half ago. Until we have produced, in fact, it is in the stages right now, being edited. It'll be out by this weekend. We have produced the most amazing documentary I have ever done. We actually had a professional crew come in and do this. This was not done by novices. And we've had a production line set up. We have one entitled The Middle East, The Rest of the Story. And in it, I go back to 1901 when Spindletop first came in, and how the major oil companies were formed at that time, Texaco, Shell, Standard Oil, and Chevron, how that they built the Arab oil fields, how then Mr. Kissinger went there and made his agreement, how they purchased our T-bills, all of these intricate background issues. Then I bring it up today as to what's happening in the Middle East, why it's happening in the Middle East, what they have to gain by it, and we were able to secure a documentary. Now, Dr. Stan, this, maybe you have seen it. If you have, let me know. I was startled. In fact, it literally, I think, sent cold chills up and down my spine. We were able to get a video soundbite of the Muslim Brotherhood during the Egyptian riots, and they were chanting. Now, I couldn't understand it because it was in the Egyptian language, but it's written over the top of it exactly what they were saying, and if anybody that knows the language of Egypt, you'll understand it. And they were chanting over and over and over again, to Jerusalem we are headed, martyrs in the millions. To Jerusalem we're headed, and martyrs in the millions. Over and over they were chanting it. I became frightened. I was scared. Well, I give the background to why this is happening, what's taking place. And we thought we'd produce one DVD and would be able to do it. When the camera crew got on set on Saturday, we went into 2 hours, and they said in order to produce it in the real good, I don't know what these new things are, they call them new type of TV, they said you can only put an hour on one disc. We went 3 solid hours in the new presentation we're giving, the Middle East, the rest of the story, when all of this is going to happen, how it's going to pan out, and then I give the 4 oil fields. I want to give them to you right now. Please jot these down. I want to give you the 4 oil fields. Now, look at the scenario. The elite will cause more and more crisis in the Middle East. The dollar will begin to collapse. At this point, it will be so critical in America because of our Federal Reserve issues beginning to collapse until the people will beg for relief. And at this point, the Middle East can't supply our oil, and they'll say, oh, we finally have found all the oil you need in America. This is what's so startling, as the gentleman gave to me the other day. We are going to open 4 oil fields. Please write these down. First of all, they're going to open the Bakken oil field. This one, listen to what's there. And Energy Information Service said it estimates 503 billion barrels of recoverable oil, and if only 10% of that were recovered, only 10% at $107, which it won't be that, it'll be $200, we would have $5.3 trillion. You realize we could actually pay off the national debt. Now, for lack of time, I'm going to give you the second oil field right quick. Most people don't even know this exists. Please go on the Internet and research this for yourself. The second oil field they're going to open is was given in the Stanberry Report on April the 20th, 2006. And here's basically what it is. Hidden 1,000 feet depth surface underneath the Rocky Mountains lies the largest untapped oil reserve in the world. It is more than 2 trillion barrels. And on August the 8th of 2005, President Bush referred to this, yet nothing has ever been done about it. Then they're going to open Gull Island. You've heard me talk about this for 35 years. The only place in the world it's recorded is in my book, The Energy Non-Crisis. They will open up the largest pool of oil found on the North Slope of Alaska. They'll open up number 4, the Arctic Wildlife Refuge. The Middle East will not be able to provide oil for us here in America. The elite will say, oh, look what we have done. We have found these oil fields. We're going to produce for you. They could produce this oil at $16 a barrel. Instead, they are going to produce it at $200 a barrel. You will beg no matter what. When you can't get enough gasoline to drive to work, when the trucks can't haul the groceries, when you begin to see the dollar disintegrate, you will be begging the elite to do something for you. And they will give it. It could be 60 cents a gallon at the gas pump because they can produce it for $16 per barrel, I was told. Now watch what's going to happen next. Oh, this is so critical. Gold, watch, I've been predicting this. Mr. Prom told me this over 2 years ago. He said, Chaplain, the only way to protect yourself is in our currency, gold and silver. Gold is going to go straight up. By the time the New World Order issues its new currency, when the American dollar is at the point of collapse, they will issue a worldwide currency. It will be backed by gold. By that time, you're going to see gold probably $3,000 an ounce. That's the reason they want the crisis in the Middle East. That's why it's happening, and we'll go from country to country. That's why they'll open up our new oil fields and be the saviors of America, and they will bring in a new worldwide currency, the New World Order, backed by gold. Folks, if you would like the background to every bit of this, 3 hours of the most unusual presentation you've ever seen, please call our toll-free number. It's 888-799-6111. Now, these will not be ready for delivery until Monday, but please call in now because we have had massive orders, and we'll put you in order as they come in. Or go to prophecyclub.com, P-R-O-P-H-E-C-Y, CLUB.com or toll free 888-799-6111. The Middle East, the rest of the story, and the total picture of everything that's going to take place. It is to the advantage of the elite to do everything that is taking place right now in the Middle East because they will be able to convince you to accept their program whereby they you've heard me say so many times, the name of the game is control, and this is all they want. And whenever they get things to the point where you will beg them for relief, they have you exactly where they want you. Now, Dr. Stan, may I say, I don't know how I could say it, we must wake up as Americans and stop this. It cannot take place. I was warned of it. I've been giving it over Dr. Stan's program. Dr. Stan has been telling you the truth for years, that all of this, that things were going to happen like this. I knew it from the elite. Dr. Stan knew it from his study and his wisdom, and the Lord gave him a lot of good things that were taking place. We have been letting you know for a long time, but it's got to be stopped. This cannot happen. The elite must be brought, and it cannot be done by revolution, by the way. You see, this revolution is not working in Libya. Revolution didn't work in Egypt. What does Egypt have now? It doesn't even have a government. And what's it going to get in September? It's going to get the Muslim Brotherhood. You think that's going to be any better than what they had when they had Gaddafi? No. We do not want revolution in America. We want a return to the Constitution of the United States of America. And as the American people wake up as a result of programs like Dr. Stan's, God help us that the American people will hear these things. And by the way, folks, please, my DVDs, this new set, it is not copywritten. I beg of you. We've brought the price way down, by the way. Whenever you call our operators, you'll see that we have. I've got to get this information out. And as a result, they are not copywritten. Copy my materials, these three DVDs, copy them, give them to every public access TV station in the country that you can. Give them to every friend, every neighbor you've got. Get the information out as fast as you can, because the elite must be stopped. They are on track for their timeline. But, Dr. Stan, I still believe that somehow this can be stopped, because the only thing that will stop the elite is divine intervention. And that is possible. If the American people wake up fast enough, I think something can be done, Dr. Stan.
If the American people turn back to God, well, let me just point out, ladies and gentlemen, we're in for a very, very difficult time. Basically, of course, there are going to be food shortages. We do know from talking to the people who handle the freeze-dried food and dehydrated food that somebody is buying up massive amounts of food, and these people are having difficulty getting it. The major distributors of freeze-dried food are having difficulty getting it. Why? Because it's all being bought up. And who has the hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars necessary? Of course, the government does. But they're not telling you they're laying in massive supplies, because they know. In fact, we know from what Lindsay had told me before. That was last October when Napolitano, head of the Office of Homeland Security, told one of her friends, who's a friend of Lindsay's, go home. The woman was in Washington, D.C. with her husband. And Janet Napolitano, even though she's a liberal, she was a friend of this conservative friend of Lindsay's, go home and start stocking food and for 6 months. This was last October. What do they know that they're not telling the American people? Well, Barack Obama is already making preparations to shut off the Internet. They passed an executive order to allow that. Janet Napolitano requested permission, got a warrant to shut off three websites in the name of national security, and they just accidentally shut off 82,000. They accidentally shut off 82,000. They were supposed to do three. Well, that's close enough for government work. Ladies and gentlemen, it was a mistake. I checked with Larry Pratt today back there in Washington, D.C. He hears the same story. They're practicing for when they shut down the Internet communications as they extend their control, because they know the crisis is coming all across America. They're laying off police. They're laying off firemen. They're cutting back on government employees. More and more people are losing their jobs. We're heading into a period of chaos and crisis. Make your preparations financially, fiscally, but spiritually as well. And if you don't have a personal relationship with our Lord, you better get one. I'm going to go to David, who's patiently waiting here from upstate New York. If you're out across America, if you have a question for Lindsay, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-2295. And David, thank you for hanging on. Do you have a question for Lindsay?
Yes. Thank you for taking my call. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it's my understanding that the American dollar is the standard, or what they call reserved world currency. Is that correct?
It is, and it has been up until the present time. However, it is being challenged by China. And, of course, for the first time, why China has said they will no longer use the American dollar for a purchase of oil. They're going to use their own currency. Now, this is going to change everything. In fact, they're already working with Russia so that they can exclude the use of the dollar as the reserve currency, because dollar is the reserve currency because gold is bought and sold using dollars. That's changing. Everything's changing very rapidly. David, Lindsay, do you have a response to what David said?
Yes, the dollar is ceasing to be the reserve currency of the world, and you're right, Dr. Stan. The main indicator of this is the fact that when Russia and China made an agreement just a few months ago that Russia would supply all of the crude oil and natural gas that China needs. And by the way, this is so important, that agreement they made, because China will not be affected by the cutoff of crude oil from the catastrophic events that are going to take place in the Middle East. Do you realize the only person who will be affected is Europe and America? China will not be affected because they're getting their oil from Russia. And Russia and China made the agreement stating we will not use the American dollar for the sale and trade of our crude oil. That basically denounced the death of the dollar as the reserve currency of the world.
David, anything else you'd like to say?
Yeah, my other question is, I mean, if the dollar collapses, isn't that going to bring the rest of the world currencies down with it?
Yeah.
Oh, positively.
The whole world is teetering on the edge of a financial collapse. And if you go ahead, you can find the article. It's up on the International Herald Tribune and New York Times. It's January of 2009. Henry Kissinger, the article is titled, A Chance for a New World Order. And Henry Kissinger makes it very clear. We're entering into a period of crisis, and countries will have two choices. They can either join the New World Order or face crisis. Get the article. If you can't find it, we have it. The whole thing is coming down, David. Anything else?
Yeah, there's just one other thing I want to add, Dr. Stan. You remember a gentleman named Larry Burkett. Does that ring a bell?
Sure.
Okay. As far as I know, I guess he passed away a number of years ago.
Did.
But back in the 1990s, he wrote a book, and it was published, called The Coming Economic Earthquake. And there was one section, there was a chapter in there where he believes that we're headed for a cashless society, and he did mention that the dollar would collapse. But also there was another section where he was talking about gold and silver. He also believes that gold and silver will eventually become worthless.
Well, he may very well be right when the Lord comes, but right in the meantime, where would you like to put your money?
At this point, I wouldn't invest in anything.
All right, fine. Well, then my suggestion to you is don't invest in anything, and just let your dollars, if whatever you have, will be destroyed. Thanks very much for calling. And certainly, we don't know what's going to happen. When the Lord comes, we're told that gold and silver won't be worth anything, but then we're not going to need it at that time. The whole idea is, how do we survive in the meantime? And, of course, the suggestion is that make your preparations, and we're just going to have to wait and see what happens. The Lord could come in 6 months, a year, 10 years, tomorrow. We'll be back in a moment. Well, Lindsay, you have 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, Dr. Stan, I just urge people, first of all, to set their spiritual house in order. I'm so glad that you mentioned this, as you did at the end of the last segment.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com.
You have ever witnessed. Now, Cindy, Lindsay, thanks so much for being with us. Talk to you early tomorrow morning, so get a good night's sleep.
Thank you, Dr. Stan, and likewise.
God bless. Okay, fine. Now, let me just point out that we have posted on our webpage at RadioLiberty.com a plan of salvation where you can certainly go to our website, and then it will link you to David Bays. He has an excellent website. Almost a million people have pulled this down over the last 10 years. And we recommend, if you do not already have a personal relationship with our Lord, or you have any question, am I really saved? Go there to our website, and of course, link directly to David's website, and read what he has to say. It's very well done. So, again, of course, go to RadioLiberty.com, and please go there. Get the information. Understand we're involved in a spiritual battle. And the most important thing you can do is have a personal relationship with our Lord. Now, let me simply point out, to understand how this fits together, you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get our talk on The Forbidden Secret Comes with the Syllabus. That's a DVD. You need to get my talk on The Dark Secret. It's a CD, and it comes with the syllabus. You need, of course, to understand we're involved in a spiritual battle. There is another dimension behind what's going on, and this is what most people miss. We have a great DVD put up by our friend Lynn Maizuli, The Watchers. His book, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. His book on the Nephilim Trilogy. His book on alien interviews, not interviews with aliens, but interviews with PhDs and professors and others who've interviewed people who've had alien abductions. You will really learn a great deal from this. You'll want to hear, certainly, out the DVD we have on the beautiful side of evil. It's actually a talk that Joanna Michelson gave at our conference a couple of years ago. The beautiful side of evil. Joanna was certainly a medium, and she was being trained as a sorcerer's apprentice. And, of course, it's an amazing, amazing story. So, basically, if you to understand what lies then ahead, you need to get the talk that Constance Cumby gave a couple of years ago. It's on DVD. And my 4-CD set of my interviews with Constance Cumby called The Aquarian Conspiracy. If you want to understand what's really going on with oil, we have a 4-CD set. It's called The Oil Deception. The Oil Deception, and of course you want to get the syllabus for that. It's called The Oil Deception, and it contains the information you need to understand that there's plenty of oil. This whole collapse of the oil supply in the Middle East is all planned. This is all a scam. We've always had plenty of oil. There's plenty of oil off the North Slope. Massive oil supplies of oil in the Arctic Wildlife Reserve. Why don't we develop it? Oh, my goodness, the environmental movement won't let us. Who controls the environmental movement? The big oil companies. Why would the oil companies want to prevent drilling for oil? Well, let me ask you a question, ladies and gentlemen. Do you make more money when there's a shortage of oil or when there's an abundance of oil? The world is awash with oil. And so the only way you can keep the price up is to create artificial shortages, you hire the environmentalists and you put your people in the environmental movement to block the development of oil, to block the development of nuclear energy, to block the development of so much coal and natural gas. You create artificial shortages. And that way, of course, you can control things, and then, of course, there's plenty. Why, then you drop the price, destroy your opposition. But you use the power of government to block others from competing with you. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV, war, because we are at war today. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Massimo Mazzucco, and Chris Massimo has put out an excellent DVD, which we carry. Has been really, I'm amazed at the response we've had to it. It's called Cancer Forbidden Cures, and we've done a number of interviews with Massimo on that. But basically, he's put out several other DVDs, and he sent them to us, and one of them is called The New American Century. And it goes into the background of a group known as the Project for a New American Century, and we've talked about that many times in the past, but how all of this works together, how there is an organized, orchestrated effort to destroy America, to encourage wars in the Middle East, and eventually to bring about a one-world government. And of course, you know, God works in strange ways. He's given certain people a real talent for writing. Our friend Bob Chapman can turn out a 40-page newsletter twice a week. I could no more do that than I could fly. He's given other people the ability to actually make DVDs, and Massimo's has been given that ability. And this DVD he's done, The New American Century, is very well done. We're going to be carrying it. You certainly want to get it. He's given me a small gift. I can do a fairly good radio program. Not as good as many, certainly nowhere near as exciting, but at least I can certainly organize things in a manner where people will listen. But he's given each of us gifts. He's given women the ability to create a home. He's given some people the ability to memorize all sorts of things, other people the ability to work in computers. But Massimo has the ability to do DVDs. This is an excellent DVD, The New American Century. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
First of all, thank you. Good evening to you, Dr. Stan, and to everybody. We're lucky we're not on television, otherwise you'd see me blushing at this point with all these things that you're saying about me. I was a filmmaker before in my life, so it became natural to me when I started becoming interested in issues like the ones that you deal a lot with, which are basically world control, new world order, general politics, geopolitics, and all that, and to put my knowledge on filmmaking at service to the documentaries. So So it wasn't something that I've improvised. There are many years behind of dedicated work on filmmaking.
How did you happen to come to the United States? Because you're Italian,
yes.
You speak Italian, you're certainly very, very popular, you're very well known over in Italy, you do a lot of work over in Italy and interviews. How is it over you're here over in America making films?
It's actually a very cute story because I was in that stage of my life. I had made a few so-called art films. I had received feature films. I had received a good reception at film festivals. So I felt I knew everything about filmmaking, and I basically came here to America to show Americans how to make films. You know, I was in that stage of life when you think that you can just do everything, and you still need to learn a lot from it. I came here, and I did make one little film, yeah. In the meantime, Internet started, and 9/11 came about. For some reason, I got involved and started to study 9/11, and the more I studied it, and the more I became interested in finding out what was behind. So I found myself starting this little website, an Italian website, which became extremely popular. So it took completely my energy. I stopped thinking in terms of fiction films. I only make documentaries now. And I'm popular in Italy, so I came all the way here to be Massimo Mazzucco from Los Angeles. So whenever I go on a show, it's like, oh, we have the big guy from America. Had I been probably living in Italy at this time, nobody would care about me.
All right, well, I'm glad you're here because I think Massimo is very accessible, and great DVDs, and certainly we'll be, he's done a couple of others, we'll be talking about those later. But right now, we're going to be talking about the new American century. What is it all about? It's about the Project for the New American Century, probably one of the most important organizations, front organization, admittedly, for the New World Order, but one of the most important organizations of the last decade. We'll be right back. Well, Massimo, why don't you tell our listeners about the New American Century and then about certainly the movement as you've uncovered it through your work.
Okay. In order to do this, I'll need to do an introduction first and explain, because New American Century is the second of two films, and it only is acceptable if you know something about the first. I'll do it very quickly. In the first documentary I made, which is only in Italian, it's called Inganno Globale, which means global deceit, I show basically what all the inconsistencies that exist in the official version and why there are good reasons to believe that the official story is not corresponding to the truth.
Now you're talking about the story of 9/11.
Oh, I'm sorry, yes, the 9/11.
Right, okay.
Yes, the
9/11. Why don't you put it into English so we can see that as well?
Because it was the first one I've made, and because I am making now a new one for the 10th anniversary, which will be basically the same but much more adjourned to the actual talking points that have survived all these years. See, I've been debating this all over the Internet, and not only the Internet, also on Italian television. I'm really, I would say, an expert on every single argument that can be debated on 9/11. And I'm preparing, together with other people in the 9/11 Truth Movement, what we can call a final summary of this incredible investigation that has been conducted by private citizens like myself and many, many others, which is a job that instead the regular journalists should have done, but for some reason or for obvious reasons they did not do. So basically, we took their place. It's going to be called the 9/11 Summary, 10 Years of Public Investigation. So this is going to be a summary. But anyway, the reason why I say that is simply because you can only accept the New American Century once you have first digested the facts of 9/11, and you have become convinced that it was actually an inside job. This film does not start from point zero. It assumes that it was an inside job, and it begins to search for who could have possibly done it. This is why you need to first be a person who has decided that 9/11 was not what the official story tells us that it was. And, of course, everybody's entitled to believe the official story, in which case the New American Century will probably not be of any interest to them. But the New American Century shows so many good reasons for a certain group of people to have done this that it becomes strictly almost impossible in terms of statistics that they were not behind this. I mean, there are so many coincidences and so many good reasons for them to do it, and so little good reasons, on the other hand, for those who have been accused of this, with the Islamic Taliban, that you come to a realization that, of course, this is a cover-up. This is simply a false flag operation.
And we hold that thought for just a moment, yeah, as we bring all of our other stations back on board here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Massimo Mizuko, and basically he was telling us that his film, The New American Century, is basically the second in a series of films, but the first one in the series is only in Italian. So he is remaking it now for the 10th anniversary of the 9/11 attack, and it'll be available, hopefully, in if at least one version in English. But the initial one was in Italian. And basically, of course, anybody out there who honestly believes the official government version, let me just point out that, you know, the government tells us that no one had any idea the attack was coming. Certainly, you know, Condoleezza Rice said, you know, who could have possibly thought that they would take planes and crash them into our buildings? And even though there's all sorts of evidence, they knew it, the attack was coming. They knew it was going to involve the use of planes and crashing the buildings. They even knew there was Operation Bojanka, that it was going to involve the Twin Towers. They knew all of this. We have an article that appeared on the website for the Northwest Airline flight stewards called Operation Bojanka by Bill Gertz from the Washington Times. Talk about Operation Bojanka and the plan to hijack planes and hit the Pentagon and hit the Twin Towers and hit the White House and Sears Tower in Chicago and the Transamerica building. This was in July. Interesting enough, when I interviewed Bill Gertz sometime later and congratulated him on the article he'd written, Bill Gertz, who of course is very gets a lot of information from the CIA, didn't even remember the article he had written. And of course, it disappeared immediately after 9/11, but it was up there. We have copies of it. They knew exactly what was going to happen. And of course, they did nothing about it. But I always like to say, well, of course, but the day after the attack occurred, why the FBI had pictures and the life history of all of the 19 hijackers. They knew all about them the day afterwards. But well, the most amazing thing is six of them are alive and well, living over in the Middle East today. Now, if you can explain to me how those men died on the 11th of September, and then they came back to life and they're living over the Middle East, and they say, well, it's mistaken identity. No, these are the people that the FBI described exactly. The pictures or everything's the same. And they don't deny that. They just ignore it, because it's pretty hard to explain how you can kill these people one day and the next day they're alive living over the Middle East. It's all a lie, ladies and gentlemen, but a lie told often enough comes to be believed, and the murderers of the 3,000 or almost 3,000 Americans are still on the loose. But anyway, that was the background of the first film. The second film in this century, in this series, is The New American Century. So, Massimo, you pick up the story of The New American Century.
Yeah, let me just say one thing about these hijackers, because most people don't realize, and this is really a problem with the media, most people don't realize that there is not a single image of any single one of these 19 people boarding any of the four hijacked planes on that day. Okay, now Boston Airport, Logan, and Washington Dulles and LaGuardia, they have cameras. You know, if they don't have them in the toilets, it's just because they can't. But they have cameras everywhere. You should have each of those guys going from each step, from the moment they do the check-in, when they buy the newspaper, when they talk to each other. You should have millions of images. We have had none. The only images that was given to us of one presumed hijacker boarding this plane is a connecting flight at 6 in the morning or 5 in the morning from Portland, Maine, to Boston. So just to give us that, but not. This is so shocking by itself. And no journalist has had the courage to ask this most simple questions. See, the problem with the movement, the 9/11 movement, of which I'm proudly part of, is this. We only asked, we are called conspiracy theorists. And with that kind of label, most people think they can get rid of us. The problem is this. We only do the job that the journalist should have done, asking very simple, normal questions. For example, four people who had never, by admission of the 9/11 Commission report, had never flown a jet in their life, suddenly accomplished maneuvers in the air that are said to be almost impossible by pilots with 30 years of experience. Any journalist with the worth of that name should ask the question, how is it possible that a person who has never flown a jet before in their life They only flew little Cessna, apparently, they said. Little Cessna, the single engine, which is a totally different thing. You know, this is a normal question. You don't need to be a conspiracy theorist. You don't need to be sick to ask this kind of question. All you need to do is have a brain between your ears. But apparently they all turned it off. So we simply did the job that they did not do. This is just my general statement. I'm sorry if I tend to get carried away a lot on this issue because it has been main issue topic for me for the last year, so I apologize for that.
You go right ahead. And okay. Basically, it's very easy to get emotionally involved when you think of those people dying.
Oh.
And, of course, the families and the tragedy and the fact that we've been lied to and the fact that over 1,000 of the bodies of the people who died that day have never been recovered, not one little spicule of bone. How could you have vaporized all those bodies right along with vaporizing all the cement? When you have a pancake collapse, you don't vaporize the cement, you crush the cement, and suddenly it would not be vaporized, but the bodies were vaporized, the cement was vaporized. How could you do that with a pancake collapse?
Just think of this. If you're walking on the street and a vase of flowers or a box of beer cans drops on your head, it probably breaks your first vertebra, your second vertebra, the third maybe, and then it falls off to the side, correct? It doesn't keep crushing you throughout all and each and every vertebra until only your ankles stick out of your shoes and the rest is completely destroyed. The top of a building collapsing on the bottom part should hit it, and then it should fall on the side. It should not keep crushing itself through. This is a controlled demolition. It's very obvious if you think about it. But anyway, let me say about the New American Century. I believe that the most important, interesting and important part of the film is the historic part in which it shows that because of the American Constitution, a president simply cannot go to war if he wants to do so. He always needs what is called an incident, a war incident, whether provoked or induced or faked, to go to Congress and ask for permission to have the use of force. And history shows that this has happened in 1898 with the war against Spain, when the Americans sunk their own ship called Maine to then declare war to Spain. It happened to enter the First World War when they provoked the sinking of Lusitania ship so that they could have an argument to go against Germany. It happened in the Second World War when they provoked the Japanese to attack Pearl Harbor. They intentionally kept the information from the port of Pearl Harbor so that they could not defend themselves so that Roosevelt could go and be ashamed in front of the parliament. They invented the Gulf of Tonkin episode for Vietnam. This is all documented, and it's not my opinions I'm giving here, of course. This is all documented with original pieces of footage that you can see in the film. They invented, by admission of the very foreign minister, McNamara, he said that the accident of the Gulf of Tonkin, which led America to the Vietnam War, never happened. It was invented. But a president needs an excuse to say America is under attack so that we can go to war. Otherwise, you cannot, because the Constitution does not allow you. So if the 9/11 attacks were, if we hypothesize that they were really done by the Islamic terrorists, it would be the first time in history that we are told the truth. Because in every other single instance, we have been lied to. Because it's needed to do so. Otherwise, America could never go to war unless it is attacked first. And come on, who's going to attack America, really? Nobody ever will. So in this way, America has no chance to go to war and go to conquer the territory that it needs to conquer and control because of the reasons that are explained in the film. And there are geopolitical reasons and economic and geostrategic and energetic and all that. Now, the plan, the PNAC, or Project for New American Century, is a group of people that came to, you said, the 10, 15 years. I think it's more like 30 years. They came together in the 70s in Chicago. And the names of these people were Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, Paul Wolfowitz. They were all friends, and they all came from that group. They all were part of this movement called the New American Century. And this movement has always been advocating the total control of the world by American forces. So when Russia was down in the end of the last century under Clinton, basically, they were pushing and pushing to go and aggress and attack and take all the territories that they needed to take to control the world. But with Clinton, they could not succeed. As soon as Bush was there, 9/11 comes, and suddenly we have this great excuse to go to Afghanistan. And if you look at the film, you'll see the real reason why we went to Afghanistan, or at least one of them, is that there was a project for a pipeline that needed to be done. It had been in the making for 4 years, but the people from UNOCAL kept saying, no, we are not going to do this pipeline, probably the most important pipeline today in all Eastern Asia, unless we get rid of the Taliban first. Well, good luck. Well, look at this, how lucky we are. Suddenly, this Osama bin Laden is hiding with the Taliban, and suddenly we have to attack Afghanistan. And, of course, 3 months after the attack of Afghanistan, the deal for the gas pipeline was signed, and suddenly Osama bin Laden became, in the words of George W. Bush, irrelevant. It was not necessary anymore to look for him, because now we have the pipeline, we have the control, and we're still there because we're struggling for that, certainly not there struggling to look for this man.
Very well done. And then, as he develops the whole idea, it's done in a sequential form so that you can follow what he's saying. And excellent footage there. Basically, the war in Afghanistan is as phony as a $3 bill. Today, as we pointed out, we have 90,000 troops in Afghanistan. We have 110,000 contractors are paying. We have 46,000 NATO troops. That's approximately 246,000 men there. Who are they fighting? They're fighting Al-Qaeda. And how many Al-Qaeda are there? Well, according to James Jones and the former National Security Advisor and Leon Panetta, between 50 and 100. Now, if you can explain to me why we need 246,000 people to fight between 50 and 100 members of Al-Qaeda, when Steve Croft asked President Obama the question, President Obama said, I'm defending the American people, they're plotting terrorism.
Well, this is, you know, it all depends on what Obama is being told. Because to my understanding, presidents...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work, it's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value, plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
Was published about a year and a half before the attack by the Project for the New American Century, this organization that is headed by people like Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, Paul Wolfowitz. I just throw in people like Jeb Bush and Gary Bauer and William Bennett. They had somebody for each one of the religious groups. They had Norman Poterose for the Jews, William Bennett for the Catholics, Gary Bauer for the Protestants. You have to have somebody to lead the people to go along with this idea of going to war. The American people didn't want to go to war, but in this document they talk about the necessity of a catalyzing and a catastrophic event like another Pearl Harbor, and the American people will go along with increasing our military and getting involved. Go right ahead, Massimo.
Well, the key, as it explains in the film, is to produce indignation in the people, in the population. Indignation and, in this case, fear. With fear of being... I mean, 9/11 is the first time, officially, that America is attacked from somebody abroad. We have never been invaded before. This country has always been big, and there's a reason for that. Nobody dares to touch this country, of course. But the idea that they can come in somehow and they do something to us from abroad is absolutely full of fear for American people because they never experienced that before. And the shock was so well done and so strong that obviously we all want. I mean, I was there too in the first days. I was going, go get those mother's things, because it took me a while to just focus on what had really happened and who was really going to benefit. But the initial reaction, emotionally, was the same for me that I guess for 99.99% of everyone here in this country. Of course, then, sometimes you just stop there and you believe what they tell you on the news, or you dig a little deeper. Fortunately, we have internet. And with that, you can compare all the elements available. I mean, most people in this country don't even know that the towers that collapsed on September 11 were three, not two. Everybody believes it was only the Twin Towers. At 5 p.m. in the afternoon, a third building, a 47-story skyscraper, collapsed. And it came down in such a controlled demolition way that they couldn't hide it. They have not been able to hide it. There's actually not been a logical explanation for that collapse, even as of today. The reason why they did destroy that building, too, is very complex to get into right now. But there was a reason for that, and it was done. But the information, the mainstream information, stops there. Taliban did it. Osama bin Laden did it. I mean, can anybody come up with a single proof, that the Taliban did what they're said to have done?
Well, you know, one of the most interesting segments of your film was, of course, you talk about the fact that the FBI came up with this film, and it shows Osama bin Laden saying, well, because we can't see what he says, but they tell us what he says, because it's in Arabic, and so they print it on the screen. But if you look at the pictures on this film put out by the FBI, it doesn't even look like Osama bin Laden. I mean, anybody who would look at that film, and then, of course, you have the pictures of Osama bin Laden there, and then this picture, it's obviously very grainy and difficult to see, but his facial features don't, other than the fact he's got a beard, that's the only thing that makes him look like it. It's obviously, this is totally fraudulent, and yet they sold this to the American people. They put it on television. They showed it over and over again, and it's Osama bin Laden. It's been verified by the FBI or whoever it was.
You know what, Dr. Stan?
Go ahead.
Even if it were Osama bin Laden, that tape proves absolutely nothing. All he says is that he acknowledges that he knew about the events were going to happen. Now, I can walk into a bar here and say, hey, I know it's going to happen. I did it. My friends did it. We are strong. I mean, claiming that you have done something does not mean that you have done something. The world is full of psychopaths who like to take credit for something they haven't done.
Yeah, but that is not Osama bin Laden. I mean, as you look at that film, you know it's not Osama bin Laden. So why are they lying to the American people?
And why do they need to fabricate a video like that, in which you can tell that it's not, and that is the only actual quote-unquote proof that he had that he is guilty? I mean, if you were Osama bin Laden and you want to hit America because of his bad habits or whatever reason, wouldn't you go public on the first hour after that saying, see, world, this is what I did. This is what you guys deserve because you have the wrong morals and whatever the lesson he wanted to give us. Instead, on 2 days after, he published an interview on a Pakistani newspaper saying, I have nothing to do with it. I don't have the power, the need, the necessity, the motive, or anything to do something like that. Look somewhere else. This is what he said. But nobody knows that part.
I don't understand. They say, well, you know, our government had the proof of it, absolute proof, and we'll show you, but they've never showed us the proof. I mean, they've tortured people who said, oh, yeah, you know, I did this, Osama bin Laden tortured me. Well, after they waterboarded you 150 times, you'll say anything. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty, our guest, Massimo Mazzucco. Massimo, you go right ahead. So basically, you were talking about to Sydney that Sydney Osama bin Laden denied that he was involved in this.
Absolutely. He was obviously, it's the same role as Oswald in he was CIA. He worked for the CIA until a few years before. The term Al-Qaeda in Arabic means the base, the database. Al-Qaeda was actually the list of names of the Mujahideen, which were the Arabic fighters that CIA sent to Afghanistan to fight under the command of bin Laden to kick out the Russians from Afghanistan in the 79-80-81 war. So America, even if Al-Qaeda is what is we are said it is, it was made and prepared and built and born by American hands. We sent those people there to fight for him. The reason why they would ever turn against us, I don't know. I don't think that is the fact. But Al-Qaeda means database. It's the list of people that the Americans sent. Now, would you call your own organization a database? I mean, wouldn't you call it the Muslim Brotherhood of Liberation of the World? No, the database. Al-Qaeda means that in Arabic. By itself, it's a slap in the face to me. But anyway, there are much more important issues around 9/11, of course. I think the most important thing that needs to be discussed is this. And I'm talking to the people, mostly, and I assume there are many, who either do not believe that 9/11 was an inside job, or for some reason, maybe they suspect it, but prefer not to look into it. I am told many times, oh, if you don't like this country, leave it. You know, if you are against America, why don't you go back to Italy? Well, first of all, I'm a double citizen. I'm also an American citizen. But besides that, they said, if you don't like this institution, we are not, as a truth movement, we're not accusing the institution as such. We don't say the American government did it. We don't say the entire CIA or FBI did it. Of course not. Those agencies are made 95-99% of honest people. The problem is that in those agencies, all you need is a few people in the key positions of control that can turn
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan Massimo is just saying that certainly who is responsible for the 9/11 attack, we don't know, but somebody is responsible for it, and it certainly is not Osama bin Laden, because he denied he was responsible for it. And certainly, if you actually read the complete 9/11 Commission report, all of the staff reports, all of the members of Al-Qaeda did not want none of the members of Al-Qaeda wanted an attack on the United States because they knew it would bring mass retaliation. So then why do we want to kill all the people in Al-Qaeda? They weren't plotting against the United States. But, of course, now we have almost 250,000 men over there fighting 50 to 100 members of Al-Qaeda who, according to the United States, are plotting against America, and that's why we have to have 250,000 men over there. And if you really believe that, you probably believe that those six members of the original hijackers came back to life after they were killed on 9/11 and are alive and well living in the Middle East. So basically, we have not been given the truth. Now, basically, if you're out in the listening audience, you have a question you'd like to ask Massimo, but this is an excellent DVD. It gives you the whole background of the events that have taken place as we move from freedom towards fascism. It has a number of different subdivisions, and not just one subject. It covers a number of different subjects, all of which are very and vitally important to the events that are taking place today. It's very professionally done and an excellent, excellent job. Our telephone number, if you'd like to call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you haven't seen Massimo's other DVD we carry, Cancer, Forbidden Cures, you want to get it. We've sold, I don't know how many copies of this, but we've sold an awful lot of copies. It's a vitally important DVD, but this DVD is equally important. If you have Massimo, I know your website is primarily in Italian. Is there any place where people get other information about what you do?
Well, no, I only have my biographies in Italian. I have it also in English in my website. But I'm basically just a normal filmmaker who's decided to make DVDs and documentaries instead of feature films because of the political reasons that moved me to do that. So there's nothing incredible in life that I've done that could impress anybody, and I just try to do honestly what I can and put the information that I get in the best possibly organized way for people to digest it and accept it. And accept it is the hardest part, because as I said before, it's not easy to think that anybody would in America would do something like this to an American.
Well, I think I love that place where, of course, you show the film footage on the morning of September 11th, and of course, President Bush is there in the classroom in Florida. He's reading about a goat, I think he's reading about a goat. And they whisper in his ear, America's under attack, you know, and he sits there and he does nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, America's under attack. The President of the United States has been told. They rush into the room, and he sits there with a sort of strange look on his face.
I never had too much respect for his intelligence, honestly, but I believe and I'm convinced that, especially because in 9/11, he was simply a puppet. He was not aware of what was going on and was never really told everything, simply because you couldn't afford to tell him that.
Basically, they call it plausible denial. When you're going to do something, why, the president may know that they're going to do something to justify going to war, but he has never told the whole story. Why? Because that way he can get up and say, I had no idea what was going to happen. That's known as plausible deniability. That's what happened with Ronald Reagan with the Iran-Contra. He had said, you know, I wanted justification for being able to, of course, get our hostages back and to supply weapons to the Nicaraguans. This is what needs to be done. And then he left it up to his subordinates to do it. And he did testify before Congress, I had no idea.
Oh,
and George Bush could say the same thing. I had no idea. And that's true. But he knew it was coming. And you can tell on his face that morning, his look at him, he's frightened to death when he realizes the implications of what happens. And he is in charge, And what does he do? He sits there. It goes back to reading about the goat. Go right ahead.
The person who should be asked the real questions is Dick Cheney, because he's not only the number one neocon, he was in control that morning. He took over, and he did everything possible to keep Bush away from Washington. I mean, in the film you see very well, there's a moment in which an order of immediate takeoff is given to Air Force One, and they send Air Force One all over the place, first to Nebraska, then to I don't remember where. Bush only made it back to Washington at 7 in the evening, when everything had been decided by whom? Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld at the Pentagon.
And I think you have some film footage in there where the fellow is in charge of the Department of Transportation.
Oh, yes. That's
a Mineta. And he is testifying before the 9/11 Commission. He tells, would you like to describe that testimony? Because I think it was so vitally important, because it's obvious there were orders that morning.
Absolutely.
There was a plan. What did the Secretary of Transportation...
Norman Mineta.
What did he say? What did he testify before the 9/11 Commission?
He testified, and that is under oath. So, you know, it's real, because he never withdrew that anyway. He said that as he got to the White House emergency room, where Dick Cheney was in charge, as they were deciding what to do, it was about 9:20 to 9:25. I'm quoting it literally now. A young man poked his head into the room and said, "Mr. Vice President, the plane is 50 miles away." A few minutes later, the same young guy, I'm quoting Mineta now, okay? The same young guy comes in and says, "The plane is 20 miles away." Then he says, "The plane is 10 miles away." When he was 5 miles away, the young man asked Vice President, "Do the orders still stand?" And Cheney quipped his head and turned around and said, "Of course the orders still stand. Have you heard anything to the contrary?" End of quote. This is Mineta telling about what Cheney did now.
So what were the orders?
He is the man who asked those questions.
Obviously, there were orders that they were not to intervene, because whatever it was, something hit the Pentagon this morning. I don't think it was a plane, because they insisted it just vaporized. Everything vaporized. There was no records. It just vaporized. Do you honestly believe that they can vaporize those engines?
Go
right ahead.
The trick is that initially, like probably everybody else, I thought that the plane was under the crash Pentagon, because all we remember is the image of the facade that has collapsed, and somehow you think that, well, the plane must be in there somewhere. The problem is that facade of the Pentagon collapsed only 20 minutes after, and there exist three pictures shot by a Marine named James Ingersoll, who shot the Pentagon right after it was hit and before the facade collapsed. In those three pictures, you see a, I would say, 10-foot hole. Then you see all the windows still up with the glasses still up, and nothing in the grass at all, nothing. So something like a huge, huge baseball ball, 10 feet large baseball ball, went through there, and strangely enough, three rings inside the Pentagon, you find an exit hole of the same exact size, another 10 feet exit hole. Something went across the Pentagon diagonally, and three entire rings of the Pentagon. The Pentagon is five actual rings from the inside to the outside. Three of them were crossed diagonally, 45 degrees angle more or less, by something wide, 10 feet wide, which punched an entry and an exit hole that were practically the same. No wings, no marks of the wings, no marks of the engines, no debris of the plane anywhere. Whatever you want to call that, I cannot call it a Boeing 757. This is the problem.
And of course, must have vaporized, because there's no records there. In fact, we've even
no
had a good
but,
friend.
But lo and behold, 3 months later, we are told that each and every victim has been identified through DNA. So the plane is vaporized by the impact, the speed, the heat, and all that. But they found the remains of each and every victim, and they're all this is in the papers. I have not said a single thing tonight on this show that is not proven and supported by documented material. I want those who listen to understand this, because I may sound very freaky if one doesn't know this, okay? It's all documented.
And basically they tell you that the motors were vaporized, the tail was vaporized.
Everything is gone.
The wings were vaporized, but they found the DNA on all of
them. But
they
found the remains of, and there were remains, let's say, good enough to be identified by DNA. The same thing is with Shanksville. in Shanksville, if you look at the footage of the first 10, 15, 20 minutes before that footage was removed from the air and never aired again, you see a hole in the ground that is three times smaller than the wingspan of a 757. There is absolutely nothing in that hole except little pieces of, you know, it could have been a car crash or something like that. There's nothing that looks like a plane. There's not one engine, not one seat, not one passenger, not one luggage, not a piece of wing, no fuselage. I mean, does anybody remember the Pan Am flight in Lockerbie? That thing came down straight to the ground, almost like United 93 would have done, allegedly did. Half of the plane is out there. And the hole in Lockerbie is probably 60 or 70 feet long. This hole is 15 feet long. You couldn't fit three bicycles one after the other. It's ridiculous. And again, the more ridiculous it becomes, because here too we are told that 3 months later, A, 95% of the plane was recovered. Nobody knows from where, because you cannot see it in the pictures. And all the victims' remains were found and identified by DNA again. I mean, it's a joke. If it weren't because of the people who died, this is the biggest joke in history I've ever heard. Except we are not told this information. So we stay with the mainstream media, which stops right there. None of the journalists asks this kind of question, where is the plane? I mean, nobody's ever seen an accident where a 757 goes down to the ground and you cannot find a single piece of plane that is identifiable. It has never happened.
Well, because there was a, apparently, there was a wreckage field, but it was up to 8 miles away. It wasn't,
that's another story. Yeah. Apparently, this plane is the one that was plunged by the heroic passengers, and so it would go down in one piece, of course. But wreckage was found in a radius of 8 miles, which means instead that it was shot in the air. Now, what that was, again, we don't know, but it certainly was not a 757, and it certainly did not fall in that hole. You have a picture. There's the only one picture shot right after the crash of United 93, or alleged United 93. You see a puff of smoke. When a plane with carrying 20,000 tons of fuel crashes to the ground, you get this column of black smoke that keeps smoking for hours. Here you get a little puff of smoke, like a bomb, for example, and then everything else is gone. The grass right around the hole is perfectly green. It's a joke. And the joke is on us. This is the problem.
Yeah, but it's so hard for people, Massimo, to believe that anything could be this complex.
And
it's so difficult for people to believe that anybody would be so evil as to kill all those people, or whatever happened to them. But we have not been told the truth about any of this. Certainly the plane did not crash at Shanksville. Maybe the plane was shot down and suddenly exploded in air. But you have an 8-mile radius of wreckage with motors. How could a plane crash directly into the ground and then a motor be found 2 miles away? Explain to me that. And nobody can explain it.
No.
They just say, why you're a denier, as if there's something wrong with questioning. Don't we have a right to ask who's responsible for the murder of the people that morning? And because it certainly wasn't the 19 hijackers, because they did not die. The six of them are alive and over in the Middle East. And when you can explain to me how they could die and then come back to life, then I'll explain your explanation, accept your explanation. Well, go right ahead.
I wanted to say something about the difficulty of accepting something so large. And I like to quote, I think it's Marshall McLuhan, who said, small secrets are the hardest to be kept. For large secrets, people's incredulity will always be sufficient. When the secret is big enough, you don't need to hide it, because people will not believe it anyway. So there's no need to cover it.
It's so large
that people go, oh, come on.
Never underestimate the gullibility of the American people. Because they do not want to believe anything could be this evil. Go right ahead.
Well, that's what I mean. You know, if you don't want to believe it and you refuse to look into it, what you're doing, in case this is an inside job, what you're doing is actually helping the criminals get away with it, and planting a new possibility for something like this to happen again. The reason why we fight in the 9/11 truth movement is not so much to bring Cheney to prison. Nobody will be able to do that. That is obvious already. But at least to bring enough I'm sorry, I'm missing the word now. Enough knowledge about this that it cannot happen again. Because another time, we cannot be told a lie like this. We're trying to at least avoid that in the future. But everybody must look into that. And, you know, regardless of what you're going to find, and then you make up your mind. And again, you know, don't listen to me, don't listen to the other part. Do your own research. Internet is there. Spend a few days. Go to websites. And there's so much material there. It's even too much in a way. But certainly you can isolate the important element. Why did the towers collapse vertically? Ask yourself, if the top part of a building falls down because a few floors give in, would the entire building crash through itself, or would the top part fall off to the side after a moment? This is a normal question anybody should ask. Go look at Building 7. Building 7 came down straight, flat, in 6 seconds, like only the best controlled demolition can do, not even just the demolition, let alone the fire. Fire has never taken down the steel buildings in history. And suddenly, on September 11, 3 major buildings, superbly built and superbly redundant, collapsed just because of fire.
Well, you know what really convinced me is the fact that when you actually are going to do a controlled demolition on a building, what you do, the first thing you do is place your explosives so that the center of the building collapses first. And then that brings the center of the roof collapses, and then the walls fall inward.
Of course.
Then you destroy the base, and the building collapses in its own shadow.
I mean,
or you go to my website, RadioLiberty.com, and watch Building 7 come down. Lots of places on the web you can see it. Watch Building 7 come down. The first thing collapses is the center of the roof, and then the base of the building goes. A controlled demolition. I've talked to experts on it who assured me it's a controlled demolition. But Massimo does a magnificent job of bringing this out, but part of a much larger picture. It's not just about Sydney 9/11. It's about the whole flock of things that have gone on since then. Would that be a fair estimate, Massimo?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. As I said before, I needed to make a first film to explain the facts of 9/11. And then, basing on that, once one decides that it was an inside job, then you can explore the possible culprits and the real political and philosophical history behind. You can't do the two steps at once.
And of course, so much of this film really deals with the other aspects, the rest of the plan for what is happening in America as we move from freedom to fascism. It is one of the finest films I've seen, The New American Century. We recommend it. We'll be carrying it. And, well, you want to get it, you want to watch it, and you want to get others to watch it. Massimo, you have 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, what I wanted to say, I started saying that, and I'd like to conclude that thought.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about anything. any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
A New American Century. You'll find it fascinating. And, of course, we have, of course, other DVDs on what happened that morning. Certainly, the 9/11 Truth, Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. We have a number of others if you want to get them. But I would get the 9/11 Truth, Architects and Engineers for the 9/11 Truth DVD, the New American Century. And then, of course, if you want to understand what is really going on, you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and you need to get the DVD. You can copy the DVD. Anything that we have made, you have our permission to copy. And Massimo has given you permission to copy his things. You get one through us. Why, of course, then, of course, copy it.